Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. Today, I'm following my discussion with Carol Asher, who has written a wonderful book titled A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, Russian Jewish Immigrants in Sharon and Armenia, 1907-1940. And I have a warm feeling towards this book just because of my own family history of my grandfather and my grandmother from Ukraine moving to Iran and as immigrants, and then I myself as an immigrant having moved to the U.S. During the Iranian Revolution in the 70s. In our first segment with Carol, we discussed about the life in the Pales for the Jews in Ukraine, and then the philanthropist Morris de Hirsch, Baron Morris de Hirsch, who created a Jewish agricultural and industrial aid society in 1900, which offered mortgages to several Jewish families, which then allowed them to move in Ellsworth Hills in Sharon, Connecticut, to establish a new life. Many of them only speaking Yiddish, not knowing anything about farming or America or where they were going. And as Carol said in our previous discussion, a couple of them signed their mortgage agreements in Hebrew. So their tenacity, their endurance, their perseverance to survive and celebrate their new life, they became kosher boarders. So
They had boarders.
So, but then they were sharing these boarders with their own house.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, which I find interesting. But then I want to lead now into the second generation where the children are older than eighth grade, which there were one room schools that they would attend, and then
so it's really an interesting moment
where Armenia comes in.
Yes, exactly. So it's an interesting and kind of puzzling moment because
and we're talking 1910, 1925, so, I believe, right?
Well, the first people move in the late teens, the early 1920s. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the schools went to eighth grade, the one-room schools in Ellsworth went to eighth grade. But when the students were ready to go to high school, something in Sharon happened, and I don't know what it is. It's not in the records, needless to say, but it was very clear that Jewish children were not really welcome in the high school in Sharon. And so the first family to have a high school age student were the Osofskis, and their first child to be of high school age, which is to say ninth grade, was Freda Osofsky.
And Freda Osofsky.
Yes, F-R-E-D-A. Uh-huh. And so Nathan Osofsky took her every Sunday.
Nathan Osofsky being the father who was the original immigrant.
The original immigrant.
Right.
And actually two Osofsky brothers were up in Ellsworth,
right.
Max and Nathan.
Nathan.
But so Nathan.
And why don't you please let our listeners know the name Osofsky in 2017, what that means.
So
the
all of you will know the name.
Exactly.
Even if you don't know it, but Ronniebrook, which is one of our preeminent dairies, Ronniebrook Dairy Farm, is an Osofsky farm, and it is farmed by two grandsons of Nathan Osofsky. But let me tell the story of Freda, because it's a very moving story.
Well, I think what is fascinating is to really know that this family immigrated at 1900 here, and through all the difficulties of both dealing with the land and dealing in a new culture and the difficulties that they confronted with the residents, they survived and flourish. And in fact, we're all benefiting from their.
Well, that's really true. And we have benefited in many ways. So if I can.
So
just,
back at Freda, yes.
So if Freda. So the idea was to find a place where Freda could go to high school. And the Armenia High School was willing to take her, but how would they get her there? So a place was found in a black family's house in Armenia. And that's an interesting question, why that was the only house that would take her for room and board, but it was. And so every Sunday.
Well, what is your guess?
There were a couple of other Jewish families already in Armenia, and so I don't know whether they didn't have room or they were too precarious. But this family was a family that had also been in Ellsworth. Mm-hmm. That I know. So mm-hmm. they knew the black family from Ellsworth. The family had moved to Armenia.
Right.
And Freda would be taken on Sunday evening with a week's worth of kosher food to this black family where she stayed during the week and went to high school in Armenia. And then she would be driven by horse and buggy on Friday so that she would be back for Shabbos in Ellsworth. After a year of this very arduous way of attending high school, actually the Osofskis moved to Armenia, first rented and then bought a place which they called the Hotel Grand House, and they became full-time hotel keepers in Armenia. But let me say one thing. There were four Osofsky daughters, and there were four Osofsky sons. All of the daughters became school teachers. If you want to talk about contributions, all four Osofsky daughters became school teachers. All four Osofsky sons were given farms when they became of age, so that the Osofskys had made enough money by farming and with that hotel to give farms to all their sons and to ensure that all their daughters became teachers. And again, Ronnybrook Farm is now two generations later.
Later. And that's what I wanted to emphasize as well, and I'm glad that you brought up. The Osofsky sisters became teachers in schools that wouldn't accept them.
That hadn't accepted them.
No, that to me is fascinating, you know? And today, just very quickly, today, in 2018, we have a milieu where immigrants are so easily discriminated against. And not only immigrants, otherness. Otherness is so easily looked down upon.
Well, I think that's why I felt.
And I think this is a wonderful history lesson to recognize that, you know, if you give people the chance to be themselves.
It's true. The story is very inspiring in that way, but the truth is that everywhere, all over America, immigrants have made huge contributions, and they do over and over again, no matter what country they're from. In fact, there's sociological research showing that the first generation of immigrants always has enormous energy, entrepreneurial energy, educational energy. They give to our country so much.
There is a deep, deep, deep desire to succeed. And I know that myself, because as an immigrant myself in my 20s, I had a lot of obstacles thrown in front of me, but I wanted my education, so I worked, I paid for my education, and I did well enough where my undergraduate, I paid for it, my graduate was lucky enough to get a scholarship. So, but going back to Osofskis, the building is still there. The hotel building is there. It sits a little bit beyond in Armenia. It sits back from the road. And it was a very popular and active place.
It was
1930s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah, I think actually in through the 60s, it was a popular place. And it was often so crowded that the Osofsky kids had to move out.
I remember reading that too, and stay
with the Duby. So Freda Osofsky married Alfred Duby. And those of you who know Armenia will also remember Duby's department store, which is actually right next to where the Hotel Grand House was. And is still, I think it's an accountant is there in that building, but that building still stands exactly as it was.
Just north of Route 44.
Yes.
Yes.
No, or just no, just north.
Just north
it's
of.
It's across from the library. Across from. It's on the south side of 44.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, yeah. I was thinking, yes. I know exactly which building you're talking about. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
So that was the Doobie department store, and then the Doobies lived on top of it. Freda Doobie, who mm-hmm. was then a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And when the hotel was packed, all the Osofskis would come and live above above the department store and so they could rent out as many rooms as possible.
You during the break here, we were talking about the Armenia Lake and the storms and what happened. I have a photo of Armenia Lake in, I don't know when it was taken, but it was early, maybe at 1900s or 1905, 1910, from the lake looking up at Serevan. Serevan
yes.
was overlooking.
That's
do you
right.
know the photo I'm talking about? Serevan, the building of Serevan was an old-style Tudor house, which I didn't know until I saw that photo. But let our listeners know a little bit about what Armenia was, how it flourished, and what you know about the lake.
So the lake was actually the center, in a certain way, of Armenia, and it was one of the ways in which it could advertise itself as a resort because it had this lake. The lake had been created artificially by a dam,
mm-hmm.
Probably around the turn of the century, and it continued until the 50s when a hurricane destroyed it, and then it was rebuilt, and another hurricane soon destroyed it again. You will still see, as you go up the hill past Serevan restaurant, there's still a little road that's called Lake Armenia Road.
Of course, of course. And then there's West Lake Armenia Road, and yes, that's a shortcut.
But one of the things
that
I discovered about the lake when I, you know, did more research and went into the Armenia archives is that the lake itself, or at least the developer who tried to control the area right around the lake, actually wanted it to be not for Jews. And so all the advertising that was done to sell lots around the lake was for, quote, people who you'd like as neighbors, which really is the code for meaning segregated. So the Jews who had...
And is that in 1930s or 40s? Do you know when that ad was?
This is in the 20s and
the 30s.
In the 20s and 30s. And actually there was a Lakeview Hotel, which was right across from your restaurant, looked down on the lake, but it had its own swimming pool. And all the Jewish hotels and boarding houses had their own water of some kind because they weren't really welcomed. The Jews really weren't welcomed at the lake.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And now here we are in 2018, and we again are at a point in our culture that we are weary of otherness, you know?
And making it unsafe for immigrants.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
That's why I find your book sort of timely and interesting, and I'm really grateful that you are able to give us some time to talk about the details of this book. This is Serge from Serevan Restaurant. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Carol Asher about the migration of Ukrainian and Russian Jews to Ellsworth Hills of Sharon, Connecticut. And she's a writer, anthropologist, and an oral historian who was able to gather these stories together and compile it in a book called A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, Russian Jewish Immigrants in Sharon and Armenia from 1907 to 1940. I encourage you to visit achanceforlandandfreshair.com for further information. And the book is at Sharon Historical Society as well as Amazon.com. I hope you will join us again because Carol and I, we want to continue the conversation onto a more the recent time and the construction of the Jewish synagogue in 1929 in Armenia, New York. This is Serge from Serevan Restaurant, and thank you for listening.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.